Welcome to Recruiting Daily's Use Case Podcast, a show dedicated to the storytelling that happens
or should happen
when practitioners purchase technology. Each episode is designed to inspire new ways and ideas to make your business better as we speak with the brightest minds in recruitment and HR tech. That's what we do. Here's your host, William Tincup.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is William Tincup, and you're listening to the Use Case Podcast. Today, we have Bob and Rebecca on from DecuSoft, and I've done some work with DecuSoft in the past, and I really love the company. And so this is going to be kind of a fun and fast show. So let's kind of do introductions, and then we'll get into the use case for DecuSoft. Rebecca, why don't you go first and introduce yourself, and then Bob, you go second, and then Bob, you take the introduction of DecuSoft.
Sure thing.
Sounds great. First of all, thank you for having us. We're both very excited to be here. My name is Rebecca Baker, and I am the VP of Client Development for DecuSoft. I've been working with the company for nearly 8 years and started out in implementation. So I've been growing along with the company all this time. Lots of exciting stuff.
Awesome.
My name is Bob Lorenzo. I'm the CEO of DecuSoft. Real quick overview. We provide a compensation software tool called Compose to better help our customers automate and manage their compensation processes and clean up some data integrity and just save time and money managing their compensation cycles.
So if the audience has not been paying attention to compensation over the last 12 months or so, what are the headlines in comp for folks? Rebecca.
Yes, I think it's been, comp has always been a main driver in business, especially since it is one of the largest expenses for a company in addition to real estate. But I think the trends are always changing and companies are looking for the best of breed to join their team and not only enticing them to join, but keeping them. So they're looking at the market. They're looking at their competitors in the space. They're also always speaking internally to see how people are feeling. And all of that is funneling back into the world of comp and how to keep your employees incented.
I love that. So, Bob, I want to ask you a different question. And because you've been doing this for a long time, I'm sure you have executives that come to you and they know they have some type of pay inequities that are in their organization. They maybe have a loose idea that these things are going on. What are the, you know, since Me Too and Love is Love and Black Lives Matter and things like that, where there's a bit more pressure on businesses to be, better at pay equity. What types of questions are executives? What are you getting from the executive suite in terms of their visibility or insight into what's going on inside their compensation?
So as it relates specific to pay equity, we're getting asked from a reporting functionality more and more about how to give the finance and HR folks a tool that they can quickly and accurately assess where they are in terms of pay equity. We also see a lot of trends of more frequency in payments than what used to be your annual end of year comp cycle, and also a bigger need for reporting and analytics, and pay equity is just one example of the reporting requirements that are being asked of us.
I love that. They want the reporting that gives them some of the visibility because they're going to get asked, they're being asked questions from others as well. So
correct. And if they don't have a system, William, then right. At the end of the day, they're running around through their payroll provider and disparate spreadsheets throughout the world and the organization trying to compile this data. And A, you don't even know if it's accurate. And B, it takes a year and a half to get what you need to make decisions.
Yeah. I can see that being a pressure point. Rebecca, because you interact with a lot of customers, similar or different than Bob's answers, what are you hearing from your customers that you deal with day to day?
I'm hearing that they need to be freed up enough from the burden of the administration of the entire compensation cycle to even get time to pull together and analyze the data in terms of pay equity. So that's a big driver for us, is finding efficiencies in their process to even allow them to look at the analytics and make some good decisions about it for the current cycle, but also for the next planning year.
I love that. It frees them up to then be able to do more strategic thing. And for folks at home, comp professionals, historically, I've operated very sophisticated spreadsheets. Lots of pivot tables, lots of sophisticated math, and keeping up with those things, just the inputs, and keeping up with that. It's not just a full-time job. It's more than a full-time job. And if they can move away from that, move to a professional comp system, then it can free them up to then be able to do reporting well. And also, I'd say or suggest that probably some of the strategy on in front of reporting, of interpreting the data and being able to actually give executives kind of an action plan.
Ideally, that's the goal. And I think everybody has a little scratch piece of paper on their desk of the things they want to get to when they have time. And comp professionals are certainly feeling that day in and day out, even outside of compensation cycles. So you're absolutely right. Being able to find efficiencies and get time to clear their head and look at the analytics is everybody's goal.
Yeah. So go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. William, I just want to add that, you know, Excel is never really going away.
Right.
And there's such a dependency on it that what we ideally try and do, especially from folks coming to Compose off of Excel, our grid is designed to look very similar to Excel so that the executives that are used to using Excel have an easy adoption to our platform. And we still give them the ability to export and extract into Excel. So they have the comfort level of having both, but you're mitigating all the risk that's associated with the spreadsheets by having something in one system.
Well, you went exactly where I wanted you to. In the demo, okay, so let's just make it simple. They either come from a world where they've never bought a professional compensation software, right. Compensation management software. So they're either kind of Excel or Access or just some type of native database that they've used, or they switch. They go from something else, another compensation application. In both of those cases, Bob, what questions should they be asking of DecuSoft?
So to me, the main things they should ask are, what are the experiences we have with similar like industry verticals? So for example, if they're a financial services entity, what other experiences have we done similar to their compensation plan? And then they should just try and vet from a vendor, how closely can they get out of a system the functionality that they want to achieve that they're currently achieving in spreadsheets without the risk, and then go through the process of checking customer references and asking questions like, what type of support do you provide post implementation and go live? Do you use your own implementation team? Do you use third parties? And just try and do as much homework as possible from your peers within the industry and other customers that have similar plans to yourselves.
I love that. Because you mentioned implementation, Rebecca, how, when you're working with customers, especially newly, freshly minted customers, how do you work with them to train them, to get them to adopt, to get usage, get them to get the reporting that they need? Because, you know, it's a big move, especially I can see it being daunting for people that have really been dependent on their, you know, spreadsheets that they've built and kept up to date for so long. I can see this being kind of a big thing for folks, a big switch. How do you got to get them intellectually and emotionally over that hump to really fall in love with DecuSoft?
It's a great question. And it really, really starts from the first conversation we have from them. So just sort of adding on to what Bob was mentioning, it's so key in the initial conversations with us or really with any compensation vendor to explain clearly what you're doing now and as detailed as possible. So if you're using Excel, giving a masked version of all of the headers and some details of how the calculations and the process is working, really that's what the implementation team on Compose is going to be diving into very deeply in the implementation process. So when it comes time to turning the configured environment back over to the client at that point, in order for them to get trained and start their testing, we want to explain back to them in their terminology how they'll use their existing process, but in Compose instead. So that's really the key job of the implementation team, is early on learning exactly what the client calls things, the order of their operations, their processes, the players, building out the environment, and then training them back using their own very familiar process, just showing them how to do it in a new location. And that's not just key for the project team, but that's key for anyone who's going to end up being a user in the system. Bob spoke earlier about adopting the system easily, and the best way to do that is for it to be familiar with what they are used to doing. So in year one, sort of lift and shift and maybe expand a little bit more, but have it still feel familiar and then grow into it more over time. That's sort of a couple key tips that we've learned over the years.
Yeah, William, if I could just add to Rebecca's commentary, a lot of times folks come and they want to boil the ocean and do everything at once, which can be more daunting. So breaking it up in chunks and phases and getting wins and evolving with the system over time is another thing you want to find from the vendor. What was the system like when you initially implemented it in speaking to another customer versus where is it at in 5 years? You want to see how the vendor can scale and adapt, because your needs are never going to stay the same. They're going to change, and you want to be with a vendor that can scale with you.
I love it. Let's talk about two different types of relationships. So I want to get you, you know, let's deal with what we think the optimal relationship is between comp and talent acquisition as one relationship, and in comp and the managers as it relates to performance. What's the role that comp professionals should be playing with those two different groups of people? And Rebecca, we'll start with you first. Go ahead.
Excellent. It's a great question, and it's a very hot topic in recent years. I think there's a lot more time spent discussing that in the teams working together. And it's actually expanded the use of systems like Compose to be year-round use rather than just during the comp planning cycle. So the relationship really comes down to how you are going to pay people, and are you paying the people that are already in your workforce fairly and competitively? So a lot of that is the sharing of data. So systems like Compose can be used to capture any employee level agreements. They can also be used to pull data and do analysis around what people at certain positions and levels and grades are being paid, so that you can make your hire bids appropriately.
I love that. And the relationship with performance, with managers doing performance reviews, what should that relationship look like as well?
So there has been lots of heated debate about whether performance reviews and ratings should be used. Not so much on the review side, but whether performance ratings should be used or not. But ultimately, every company is doing some version of review, and it's important, right? That data is definitely going to feed from whatever that source system is into the compensation process and should be one of the elements available in the grid to planning managers when they're making their employee level recommendations. As I mentioned in the beginning, compensation is a very data-heavy process, looking at how they've performed over the years, what they've been paid in prior years. All of that plays into the decisions of planning managers at the time of actually making those discretionary awards.
Bob, anything to add to either one of those relationships?
Rebecca, you give answers that are just too good. You're killing me. One thing I would add is that the one of the biggest things we see now is almost every customer we speak to wants to have the functionality to provide total reward statements and comp statements. And that fits into both of the questions you asked as it relates to talent and performance, because at the end of the day, being able to communicate effectively and show someone their total compensation statement in one communication shows their vesting, their benefits, and everything. And when you're looking at saving and keeping key employees, it's really important, especially if you have any of those that are at risk, they can look at the position that they're at in totality And sometimes they don't think of some of the things that aren't tangible that are part of their overall comp package, especially if they're in a multi-year vesting schedule and have deferred comp as well.
I love that. Rebecca, you mentioned data, and actually both of y'all have mentioned data several times. Let's talk a little bit about data, make sure we're all on the same page. Comp data can be the internal data, right? So what we know about our own company can be localized. You know, we can get outside data. That's a little bit about the local market, national data. We can pull external data from, you know, a number of different reputable sources. What's, you know, when you're dealing with a customer, and again, maybe they haven't been down this road, and maybe they've only got their own data. How do you have the conversation with them about data and about looking about importing in other resources that can show them maybe where they are or benchmark against, you know, other industries or other people within their own industry, et cetera. So Rebecca, tell us your data story and how you interact with customers about data.
Data is king, regardless of the type of vendor product that you are implementing, compensation or otherwise. They can show you all of the coolest features possible. Without the data to power those features, you're never going to be able to leverage the full depth of the software's offering. In terms of compensation, our main goal of an implementation of Compose is to build out a centralized compensation repository. Regardless of the prospect we're talking to, regardless of their size or their industry, everyone is looking for a single source of truth that is easily accessible. They have lots of different types of data funneling into the compensation process from various sources, and it's multi-year. So they're looking for a way to bring it in and have it live together. So that's sort of step one. The data that you were mentioning about benchmarking, particularly salaries, is a very common topic in the past 2 years, I would say. And pretty much the majority, I'm not going to say all, but the majority of prospects that we're speaking to are subscribing to some sort of market data already, and they would like to bring it into Compose so that their planning managers can see those employee level benchmarks at the time of making the recommendation. So again, another element there for the planning manager to be reviewing and looking at when they make their discretionary awards.
I love that. Bob, anything to add there?
Now, the only thing I'd add is that from a historical perspective, a lot of customers will ask us to bring in data, and we typically don't put any restrictions on that if they have it, because it's good to have the year-over-year data, because in Compose, you can actually see what we call in a people page, a snapshot that shows an employee's year-over-year data, so you can track and compare amongst their peers as well.
Yeah, Bob, that's a great point. Perception is reality. So at the end of all of this process, there's a communication. There's a, hopefully, once again, after the pandemic, a face-to-face conversation, but now definitely a virtual conversation between the manager and the employee. And the employee is knowing what they were paid in prior years and prior cycles. That trend in their pay and their total comp is important to them. It tells a message. So definitely year over year historical data and percent change and some analysis around how their trend has changed since hire is a very important display element, both in the grid and in whatever statement you're handing them.
Very cool. All right. Three questions left. One of them, super simple. What's y'all's take on comp on job ads? Rebecca?
Comp on job ads?
Yeah. Should
it be in there or not?
Should it be in there or not? Yeah. Sorry.
It's an interesting one, right? I think
I like how you did that. That's nice. It's an interesting one.
Well, technically, William, it varies state by state legally it can or cannot. First and foremost,
right?
I think a lot of what we see is the old commensurate with experience.
Right.
So you handle it in a vague manner. Rebecca, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's probably more common at lower level jobs and less common at higher level jobs. it certainly will weed out people from applying, which may be a pro or a con. So I think it just, it depends on what you're looking for and how many applicants you're looking to get, but it definitely can weed out and eliminate some of the difficult conversations if salary is a hard sell.
So my take on it outside of the legal, well, again, abide by the laws, but outside of that, my take is to always put comp, at least a range. So, and even if it's not a range, to actually state what the comp is, so that we have more of a transparent approach to, you know, again, living in a transparent world, wanting to kind of eradicate pay inequities, just like, you know, 10 years of software experience inside of our company at this market, this is what it pays.
Yeah, I like the idea of a range too, because I think you weed people out, but you're also giving them, it's transparent. Yeah. You know, the other thing, William, I don't know if you're going here, but the thing that we're reading a lot and seeing a lot about now is the geographical issues as it relates to pay, meaning if you're in a high pay area, but now you don't have to come in and you're remote, do you adjust salaries if you're in a San Francisco or New York area?
Yes.
I'm
one of those people pushing that, by the way. So I hate location-based pay.
Yep. It should be predicated on what the actual job is.
What's the job? The job's the job.
What's the function of the job?
You choose to live in Tokyo. That's your choice.
Correct.
Or Singapore or San Francisco or New York City, et cetera. You want to live in Topeka? The job's the job. If you can do the job, why are we paying for you to live in LA? Yeah. So again, that assumes a bunch of other stuff, remote work and, you know, not being in the office and some other stuff. But anyhow, I'm one of those people. I want to see the death of, in my lifetime, I want to see the death of location-based pay. All right, two questions left. One is, comp professionals, you know, can get real tactical real quick. We all know that, and can spend their life in tactics. But if DecuSoft does what it's supposed to, and Compose does what it's supposed to, what role would they be doing? I mean, they're still doing a comp role, but what would they actually be doing during the day and during the week if they weren't in the weeds with data?
And they would be partnering with the business much more. And that's really what they want to be doing. I don't think they want to be spending time checking and rechecking a master spreadsheet, breaking it out and making sure that the 40 or hundreds of different copies of it are showing the correct employees. I think they really want to be having meaningful meetings, calibration sessions, and reviewing people are within spend, outside of spend, how should we be reviewing or approving anyone that's outside of spend, and reviewing trends to make sure that things are following the rules and the process and that pay distribution is fair.
I love it. Bob, I want to ask you a bit about pricing strategy for Compose. Again, not to the details, but just more strategically, how do y'all go about pricing things for the comp professionals you work with?
Sure. The way we price, similar to other providers, is there is a SaaS and a support component, which our typical contracts are 3 years. And the way we price it based is on the employee population of the account. So you have a 3-year charge as a contract for SaaS and support. And then there's a one-time implementation fee. That implementation fee can be a range predicated on the number of plans that we would implement on your behalf. And the if you have special configuration issues or special statements and things that you want to do, we would kind of add them in. We do our projects, William, on a fixed bid. So when Rebecca made mention before, we go through a painful process in the beginning to try and ascertain from our prospects exactly what they want us to implement on their behalf. Because we don't like being in the time and material basis where you have the scope creep and the budgetary overruns and all of that. We just don't think that's good business.
Well, and they're so close to finance. Finance hates variable cost.
Exactly.
So you're speaking their language when you speak like that. All right.
Right.
I got to get y'all's take on pay transparency. And again, there's no right or wrong, obviously. It's just, are your customers, you know, and executives, are they coming to you more with questions around pay transparency? And Rebecca, you get the easy ones first.
Pay transparency, we are getting asked about it, but with still within a set group of users, I will say. So there is still an oversight and a review, sometimes from a committee, sometimes from partners, depending on the structure of the client. But we're not seeing transparency necessarily yet in terms of in telling employees, here's where you fall relative to similar type employees at the firm.
I wonder if we're going to get more of that from the employees, from the bottom up, from candidates and from employees, if we're going to get more of that pressure.
I think we are, especially with the younger population entering into the workforce, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems to fit. I mean, you know, we'll see, obviously, but it seems like they're asking questions at least in the interview phase, they're asking questions that are more HR related. Internal mobility, training and development, praise, things like that. It's not too far away from comp.
Correct. I also think that generation in general likes there being more frequency of remuneration for things so that they're always getting money and things like that more often.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, this flew by. I absolutely appreciate both of you carving out time out of your busy schedule to be on the podcast and to break things down about Decusoft and Compose in particular. Thank you so much. And thanks for the audience for listening to the Recruiting Daily Podcast.
Thanks for having us, William. Much appreciated.
This was fun. Thank you, William.
You've been listening to Recruiting Daily's Use Case Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite platform and hit us up at recruitingdaily.com.